Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Steelers-Ravens Sunday. This is a Friday tailgate on 93.7 The Fan. Brought to you by your local Nissan dealers. It's also the eve of the ACC Championship. Pitt back in the game. Kenny Pickett playing for the Heisman Trophy. And yet, all anyone can talk about are the emoji eyes we put out there before the show. It is the buzz of Pittsburgh. Ladies and gentlemen, good gravy. The emoji eyes.
What, I think there's two emojis that automatically get people talking if they are tweeted out by themselves, okay? The emoji eyes is the king, the undisputed king. The thinking man emoji like this, eyes up to the ceiling, hand across chin.
Yeah, you're doing the face on the 93.7thefan.com video feed.
We've got the eyeballs on here. We tweeted them out. You tweeted them. I tweeted
them. And now
I'm
getting texts like crazy, Chedrick, including Doran Dickerson, who's with us from Charlotte, who said, "What the hell are you doing with these emoji eyes?" And I'm not at liberty to say.
Yeah, neither am I, Doran.
Well, I mean, you can't tell me. You can't fill me in. What, am I not part of the team?
HIPAA.
Yeah. We've got to keep this thing vacuum sealed here.
HIPAA.
For how long?
As long as it's necessary.
We'll see about that.
I mean, I'm hoping sooner rather than later that we can that we can spill beans here.
Let me just put it this way. For everyone out there that's on pins and needles, as they should be, when they see the two of us and Donnie Football Guy put out eyeball emojis, it is not good news.
Yeah, I even
if what we're hearing behind the scenes is true, it is
bad
news. It is bad news, Brown, come to town.
I tried to foreshadow that, Doran. I tweeted the eyes, and then just to give people a sense that it would be bad news in general, I sort of wrote out the official words of bad news on this show, which are, wouldn't call it great.
Wouldn't call it great.
Yep.
We tried to at least lead people in a direction. It has nothing to do with Pitt basketball. That just happens to be our favorite drop for this sort of thing. But it's not good. It's not good, Doran.
So it has to do with Pitt football then?
No.
No, doesn't have to do with Pitt.
I will do you because you're down there and I don't want you to get all nervous and anxious
about
it.
Has nothing to do with Pitt football.
The big show that you have to do tonight from FanFest with Zeiss live on the Fan. As a Pitt alumnus and a Pitt All-American.
How excited are you about that show?
Getting ready for the game, it is not about Pitt football. So you are in the clear on that, Dorn.
All right, that's good. That's all I wanted to know.
You got your Kenny Pickett scare earlier in the week.
Yes.
Crisis averted, and now everything's good on the Pitt football front, except the fact that they're playing a Wake Forest offense, which cannot be stopped. But anyways, go ahead.
No, I'm excited to be down here. It's a beautiful weather, about 75 degrees.
Oh,
and
thank
I'm,
you.
I'm staring.
No. Rub it in. Rub it in.
Have you and Zeiss played nine yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Did you
I'm
bring
staring
your
out
dogs?
Of my window. No, I'd probably just rent some. I mean, come on, guys.
True. You're staring out your window. Okay.
Did you
I'm
drive
staring
with
out my
Zeiss?
Window. No, I did not. I flew.
Congratulations
did
on all your success.
Did Zeiss drive and make it there before the plane did?
I think he's arriving right now, actually.
Looking at like a large cloud.
Well, based
of dust
on when Zeiss usually shows up
rubber.
For a show, that is incredibly punctual that he's already there 4 hours before.
Exactly. I texted him like five times. When are you showing up? When are you going to arrive? Just to make sure that I didn't have to do the show by myself.
Well, we hope that we'll be able to give you some clarity on these emoji eyes. If we can't, my guess is somebody will. Mm-hmm. In the next hour. I would be very surprised if it's not out there in the next hour. So we'll see if we can confirm it on our end. If we can't, and people want to continue to make us beat around the bush and do what we're doing right now, so be it. But I'm telling you,
you're trying to prepare people.
I am, yeah.
You're trying to. You're doing
that bad.
I'm trying to soften a blow.
It's nothing that's going to make a sports fan in this town happy.
Yep.
Oh boy.
It's like the Jay Glazer thing we talk about. If I just punch him and it's a sucker punch, and he doesn't know it's coming. I'm knocking him out, and he's going to have to go to the hospital.
Pow!
But if I tell him that it's coming, he's a guy that trains mixed martial arts. He'd be able to block it
and puts you in a Kimura lock.
Right.
And
so that's what I'm doing. That's what we're doing for Steelers fans right now. Hey, we're going to get something here very soon that is not
so it has to do with the Steelers.
Oh, did I just say that?
Yeah, you did.
Yes, you did.
I hate you, Dorn.
Well, I mean,
go ahead, laugh it up. Yeah, good news, bad news for the Steelers is just so funny this time of year.
Oh, wow, he turned it around. Dorn.
No. I am not laughing at the Steelers. I'm laughing at you because you flubbed right there. You're trying to hold a secret and you messed up.
Get your bleeps and giggles in now. Wow. You know, now you want to act like you're a former Titan and former Bill. Don't want to act like you root for the Steelers on a day like this with bad news coming down the pike. Go ahead. Get it out of your system now. We got 2 hours to work together.
No, this is your deal. You're the one who tweeted the eyes. You're the one who's leading people on, and then you just messed up a little bit, and you told everybody that's listening right now that it's about the Steelers.
The eyeball emojis just add to, I think, the build-up or lead-up to Sunday's game. Steelers-Ravens in Pittsburgh, when it's played at Heinz Field, is the biggest football day, and it becomes, for that reason, for us, it's the biggest sports day of the year.
We used to talk about it in the earlier days of the station, earlier years of the station. I remember like doing basically the old knuckle crack with Starkey and with Josh Miller. Be like, hey, boys, it's Ravens week. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean,
let's just dive right in.
It's a rivalry game that you talk about and you preview for a long time because it's on everybody's mind. It's all people can think about.
And this is the
what
latest,
that game is going
to
be
this
like.
This is the latest you've ever had to wait for game one of the series in the season.
Going to that game, you know, plans that you make for that game, especially when it's at home and not there.
Donnie, I mean, football guy, you're already checking the weather because it's a big tailgate game for you, is it not? It's the big. This is the big one. This is the big enchilada, is it not, Donnie?
You buckle the chin strap for some pretty big ones.
Do you consciously bring the best food and the best beer to the Ravens home game tailgate?
I don't know if I could put that guarantee on it, but I mean, it's definitely a big deal. I mean, it's like that perfect time. It's the 4:25, you know, it's not too early. It's not too late. Like, you know, it's going to be a big deal.
Look at them.
Guys,
football guys ready.
Does this game really have the buzz that it did from 10, 15 years ago?
No, I don't even think you have to go back that long.
Right.
I think that this is a situation where, because the Steelers are not even limping into this game, they are getting brought in on a gurney for Steelers-Ravens. That it's hard to treat it like the rivalry, brawl, battle, war that it's been for so long when you feel like you don't have the army to fight it. And you're going to maybe... It's going to maybe get even worse based on the eyeball emojis that are out there. So that's why...
Be very careful here,
Tony.
I am. Be very careful, Chalooch.
We also have a 16-second delay that Donnie Football is guarding right now. Like it's Fort Knox.
You're on camera here, too.
I know. But that's why... I mean, Doran's not... It's Steelers-Ravens isn't even top of mind for Dorn because he's not even in the friggin' state or the city right now. There's a bigger game for him tomorrow.
Do you want to know what's wild about this, Dorn? So we put the eyeball emojis out, and obviously when the PM team speaks in cryptic tones on Twitter, people tend to listen.
Well, that's because we were the number one rated show, according to Barrett Sports Media, but go ahead.
Precisely.
Wow. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
Well, Dorn, you played a role in that, obviously.
Correct. Although you didn't get the bonus that came with it. Sorry.
Wow. The BSM bonus, that's right. So... It was interesting to me as a commentary on like people being down for this game. It doesn't have the usual buzz. When we put the eyeball emojis out, I'm not kidding you. I got as many. Maybe Pony can speak differently to this. But my little eyeball emoji tweet got as many, if not more, oh no, did something happen with Kenny Pickett and or Pitt than it did. And that was like that wasn't even connected
to the
Stallings.
That was Dorn starting to freak out.
Dude, that's what I mean, though. Like it got more Kenny Pickett okay? Did Kenny Pickett make it? Is everybody on Pitt all right? Then it did Steelers. Can you ever envision a scenario where you would have more than half of the respondents in something as informal as that worried more about Kenny Pickett and Pitt than Steelers, like it being bad Steelers news in the middle of Steelers-Ravens week? When it is, and make no mistake about this, I obviously think that they're going to miss the playoffs. I thought that before the season. They lose this game, they're capital D done. That's it. They're going to go on a skid here because then they got to go to Minnesota on a short week.
If they lose, they're going to have the first losing season under Tomlin. I think that's assured if they lose this game. I think last week they were playing to keep themselves alive in the division. I think this game is about keeping their hope alive to not finish with a losing record. I don't mean 8-8-1. I mean you're not even going to get to 500 if you lose this game.
Yeah, I think that's fair too. I mean that and the playoffs are both done.
Right.
Down the drain. It's just wild to me that with all the stakes riding on this game, Dorn, you have more people who, and this is not me dogging Pitt. I mean, obviously they're in a huge spot that they've never really been in, having this good of a record playing for the ACC title. But
yeah, the last time they were there, they backdoored their way in at what, 7-5?
Right, this is basically the best they've been since, what, Sherrill's last year or whatever when they played in the Sugar Bowl?
Well, are you just going to gloss over Doran's 2019 team?
No, I'm talking about 11 wins or whatever in a high-profile bowl.
Dorn, would your team beat this team?
Dorn would be the first one to say this.
Dorn, would your team beat this team?
Yes.
There you go.
You want to know why, though? You want to know why,
because
honestly?
Because Bill Stull.
No, I think
was a gamer. He was a game manager. Nope. Are you willing to say college football's equivalent of Neil O'Donnell.
Are you willing to say Kenny Pickett's better than Bill Stull?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's evident.
Yeah, but Bill is up for the freaking Heisman Trophy.
But Bill is like a very close friend of yours who threw passes to you.
When you're someone's friend like that, you can be honest about the situation.
I think Bill would say the same thing.
So why would you guys win the game?
Because we had Deion Lewis. We had a running game.
You had a great tight end,
like
too.
Who had the coaching advantage?
I think you know the answer to that question, Chris. That's rhetorical.
Deion was such a good player his freshman year that I think that would override the running game that Pitt has for their 2021 season with the Izzy Abanikanda and Rodney Hammond and all those guys. But Deion and Ray Graham and Henry Hynoski were fantastic running backs. That's why I think that we would edge this team out.
Doran's not really going to start thinking about Steelers-Ravens till like 3:30 Sunday afternoon.
Correct.
Because you've got the Pitt game Saturday night, and then depending on how they do in that game, then you have all day Sunday to figure two things out with Pitt. Is Kenny Pickett a finalist for the Heisman Trophy?
And where are they going?
Exactly. Who are they playing in their bowl game?
Yep. No, that makes sense.
Exactly.
I mean, listen, as just a guy.
And it's wild that that could not overshadow the Steelers-Ravens, but at least take some of the attention away from them.
Okay, I'll say this much. I mean, obviously in our business, we get paid to be plugged into everything at all times. Like you are.
And you do a great job at that. That's why you showed up in your stoner hooded sweatshirt today.
What does the sweatshirt have to do with me being capable?
It just speaks to your focus vibe that you wore your stoner shirt in today. Some people, I don't know, they do that to kind of think outside the box and broaden their intellectual horizons.
You're wearing a Steelers shirt today, which is
Because I tried to force myself into the mood today. I looked around the closet and I said, it's freaking Steelers-Ravens week. Got to show some hometown pride and spirit here. I'm putting that on.
I'm more enthused as a Pittsburgh sports fan and a guy who did grow up rooting for Pitt. I'm way more enthused just in a vacuum, notwithstanding what we will talk about on this show, about Pitt's game and about what might happen.
And the emoji eyes probably affect that too, wouldn't you say, a little bit?
No, not really, because like I was that way about this before the emoji eyes got sent out. I mean, so...
Well, Pony, what are you more enthused about?
Just
Pitt
as a sports fan.
The Pitt game or the Steeler game?
This Ravens-Steelers game has absolutely no juice, which is the fundamental thrust of what we're all kind of getting at and dancing around here. I think the Pitt game has a lot of juice. It's uncharted territory for them.
Well, I love rivalries. I don't know if I've told you that before.
Well, Pitt-Wake Forest, throw out the record books when these two teams get together.
And I want to see if, given the Steelers' diminished state, if they can live up to, if they can play up to the rivalry. If their great teams play down to the competition, can a crappy Steelers team play up to the rivalry? That's what I'm intrigued by.
Do you think you might get closure in this game from the Steelers? Like, if they somehow, like, fight it off for one more week, or they just get tattooed for the second straight game?
It's college versus pros, so we know it's not totally analogous, but no one can speak to that better than Doran. He was on a team that played up to a rivalry unlike anything we've ever seen before. The other team in the rivalry had already punched their ticket. My wife was already planning her days in New Orleans before the national championship game, and Doran went in there and said, not so fast. I mean, and that matchup on paper looked way more lopsided than this one does, even when you factor the emoji eyes into it, Chris.
No, I know. Well, the emoji eyes for that game was Dave Wanstead on crutches and nobody believing he'd call a fake punt.
I mean, that's what – Doran can speak to this the best. That's what a rivalry can bring out of a team. It can. Not always. Like we've seen with a lot of Michigan-Ohio State games up until this past year. Sometimes one team is just way better and it is ugly as it looks on paper. But maybe this game will deliver
Doran, it's got no juice for me. Kenny Pickett trying to light up Wake Forest for 7 touchdowns has a lot more juice.
Guys, I honestly sit here and I'm really thinking about the word rivalry and what you're saying, Pony, and then the 13-9 game and – you know, Pitt and West Virginia will always be rivals. You know, Pitt and Penn State will always be rivals, according to some people. But to me, this game on Sunday, I don't know if this is even a rivalry anymore. It doesn't even feel like it.
It doesn't have the luster it used to.
Right. I would say the Bengals are more of a rival to the Steelers than the Ravens.
I came into the 2021 season, Doran. To your point, although
thinking about the Browns more,
thinking of, yes, not the Bengals so much because they were sort of, you didn't know what Burrow was going to come back like. After the way the Steelers postseason ended last year, and the way people, me included, were talking about the Browns, I came into this season infinitely more concerned with them than I did Baltimore, and tuned to them.
There's no animosity. I mean, back in the day, I mean, it was rough. I mean, guys didn't really like each other. It was physical. I mean, you heard Ryan Clark call it the Steelers this past week about, you know, how you have to play a Steeler way, and there's a standard and all the good stuff that these former players say that you have to hold the bar really high. You know, this game, there's nothing that it's like empty. It's like, all right, Lamar Jackson, you know, he's a great football player. He'll probably do his thing. And, you know, we don't know what Steelers we're going to get. There's nothing that is really, there's no like storyline that we can follow. There's no, almost intimacy about the game that we can follow that makes this a rivalry that makes it exciting.
Doran, I'll say this. I think there is a storyline, but I think it's such a foregone conclusion in people's minds here that it doesn't feel like one. The storyline is Steelers fighting for their lives, but you take the temperature of town right now, and it feels like people have already kicked it in here.
Yeah, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to ward that off, obviously, inside the Steelers facilities. And we've heard from enough people that have said that Tomlin, unlike other pro coaches, tries to treat this game like a college rivalry. The things that they do to get ready for this game during the week, you would think that it was Pitt getting ready for Penn State if you didn't know
better.
Well,
they put the pads on. Now, that wasn't necessarily connected to the rivalry. It was connected to them tackling like a JV team. But they put the pads on and popped the pads a little bit. This is the problem, though. He's already kind of exhausted the, hi, it's Coach Tomlin here. This game is important last week.
Yep, and they got beat 41-10.
They got their heads kicked in.
Yeah, so now I got to go back. This time I really mean it.
Guys, when you really, really, really break this game down, it means a lot.
Donnie, do you find yourself kind of faking enthusiasm for Steelers-Ravens? Or did you wake up this morning and you're like, ah, yes, it's the football Friday before Steelers-Ravens. You can smell it and taste it in the air.
I'm definitely not as pumped as I have been in the past. You know, like you think back the games of the last 5 to 10 years, like some of the good games they've had a few years ago after you know, the Ryan Shazier injury, the Steelers won the North.
How worried are you, in all honesty? Like, yeah, there's the Immaculate Extension game.
Yep.
How worried are you that this is going to be like the formal burial of the Steelers
era? Yeah, you're going to a funeral on Sunday. You're going to have to sit there for like 3 hours and watch them get beat by the Ravens.
Not only are they done, they're going to get humiliated and outclassed on their own home field by the team that has been the rival for all this time.
I'd probably say a 7 or 8 out of 10.
Oh, man, dude.
Because I very well think it could happen.
Well, I think I know what you need before the game then. More beer? more vodka, more beer, more tequila,
more vodka,
more beer would be my instruction manual for you. All right, text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. We'll see if we can tell you what the eyeball emojis are all about. But Doran is a detective and figured out that it is about the Steelers and that it's not good.
Oh, yeah, you really put – he really had to do some hardcore –
Sherlock Dickerson.
He really had to do some hardcore interrogation and get out the old detective kit to get you to slip up.
You didn't pick up on it, yeah. Mr. Perception.
Well, why
Mr.
do
Perceptive.
I don't need to pick up on it. I did actually hear you say it. I know it already, so why do I care?
All right. I guess the Ravens are having their own problems, and their conversation in Baltimore this week, even though they beat the Browns and are in first place and have the best record in the AFC, really not that different from the way we're talking about the Steelers. And one of the biggest Ravens insiders is going to join us next to talk about that. But first, it's headline time, Donnie. 2:31. Time to call Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. Why pay 40% when you can pay 25? Call 888-98-TWINS. Time to call Wine and Spirits. Because the emoji eyes have been revealed. Cam Hayward not going to play.
Likely not going
to
play.
Unlikely to play. He's sick.
Undisclosed illness.
Didn't show up to practice today. My guess is they don't. They either haven't had him tested or they're waiting for
test results.
Test results. Yeah.
So what does that mean for Steelers fans trying to get ready for this game?
Vodka. Whiskey. Beer. Tequila. More beer. More vodka. More whiskey. Beer.
Thank you, Donnie. No TJ Watt, looking like no Cam Hayward. Let's go to Baltimore. Rob Long, who does a huge morning show called the Big Bad Morning Show on our sister station in Baltimore, does massive ratings and has been a fixture in the Baltimore market for a long time, joins us. Any bad news to report from Ravens headquarters, Rob, to make us feel better about ourselves? Anything?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, gentlemen. I'm tweeting out that Cam Hayward may not play Sunday. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm glad you guys called because I was just about – I was looking at these fries that I had no business eating. You called as my hand was reaching in the bag of fries, and it saved me. I had to use that hand to answer the phone. So I appreciate you calling at the time you did. There's no bad news right now other than the Baltimore Ravens have problems scoring. They've had a difficulty scoring. You know, it's no secret. The zero blitz has been a problem for this team. I don't know whether it's a problem for Lamar or a problem for the offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, who I'm not a fan of, to be honest with you. So that's kind of been the kryptonite of this offense. Hopefully, we don't continue to do the same things and expect different results.
Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, all four of Lamar's interceptions in that Browns game came when he was targeting Andrews, right? Does that sound right to you? I think he was aiming, looking for him.
I know three of the four were for sure. I'm pretty sure the fourth was as well.
Is there two-pronged here? Is there concern in Baltimore just in general about those interceptions for him? And is there concern that he's still, like, staring down Andrews, who I know is his favorite target, too much?
I think the concern is he's staring down Andrews. And I don't know whether he was staring down Andrews in that game because, you know, Hollywood Brown was getting a lot of love previous to that. You never know. You know, you get receivers. And I played quarterback in high school, and I had my favorite receiver always in my ear telling me he's open. Sometimes it gets to you. Who knows? You know, that could be it. But I think overall, you're never really concerned about Lamar. Lamar, you know, the NFL was 0-42 in games in which a quarterback threw four interceptions or more, and Lamar breaks that. And then Taysom Hill helps the NFL out last night and loses one of what he throws for. And you've never really – I got to be honest with you. With Lamar, you're never really concerned. You look at it, you bookmark it, and you say, don't do that again. But typically, when he has a bad game, uh-oh, and he had a bad game and won, so uh-oh.
Rob Long from Baltimore. Can the Ravens run the ball?
Yeah, he can. Lamar can.
Anybody else?
Geriatric crew. I mean, I don't really have faith in him. I don't. I'm being honest with you. You know, running back, usually he's only 28. You know, running backs, that's like a dog years, man. They age. I mean, you know, Le'Veon Bell, chronologically, he's not old. On the field, old. I mean, there's a lot of that many carries. I have this thing. Running backs have 1,200 to 1,500 optimum carries in them. After that, they start to fade. Now, you have some of the greats, you know, I mean, define what fading is. You always had the freaks, you know, like Adrian Peterson. But overall, look it up.
So Lamar can run, and that's it. How about Big Al? How's he blocking? How's Big Al blocking down there?
Or can you even use Big Al and blocking in the same sentence right now?
Man, Alejandro Villanueva, I'm a military guy. Thank him for his service. I just wish he had more service here in Baltimore. I mean, it's not – honestly, man, he's not – I love the guy. I think he's a quality guy, one of my favorite people in the National Football League. However, I love my mama. I don't want her playing left tackle for the Ravens. And right now, that's where he is right now. I mean, he's all the Ravens have got, and that's why he's doing what he's doing. Again, I think he's one of the quality people, along with Calais Campbell, who's also a Raven, in the entire league. But he's just bad at his job right now.
Rob, they're also bad. It's weird to me to see the Ravens with – I know they've had so many injuries in that secondary, but they still have Marlon Humphrey, who apparently also is sick this week. Why can't they defend the pass this year?
Well, we used to say pass rush, and that's not it either, because the Ravens are actually getting the pass rush with Oweh and Tyus Bowser. Those guys are actually getting to the quarterback and rushing the passer. It's been busted coverage. It's been blown coverage. You know, safety's not realizing that he had the deep middle. Corner's not knowing that they had the deep third. Not knowing your assignment. It seems to be a lack of communication in that secondary. You saw that against the Miami Dolphins on that Thursday night when no one was covering the left side of the field for that lollipop of a throw to get down the field. I mean, it's not pass rush right now. It's a lack of coverage in the secondary. And that, for the life of me, I can't understand, because you're used to having, as you said, Marlon Humphrey, and before the injury this year, you had Marcus Peters. That was one position that you never had to worry about, and this year you do.
Rob Long from our sister station in Baltimore does a huge morning show down there. Big ratings, covered the Ravens for a long time, was a high school quarterback. Ravens have the best record in the AFC. They're the number one seed. Rob, you're making it sound like the team sucks. I don't know if you're hangry because you got some fries next to you that you can't eat. Doesn't sound like you're describing a first place team. Doesn't sound like you're talking about a great football team.
I'm smelling these fries right now. It's sort of like Alabama fans. You know what I mean? They only have one loss, but you're watching how they win, and you're always afraid of the next game. That's how it is being a Ravens fan right now. Yes, they're the number one seed. They're 8-3, but I also know what I'm watching, and I know that, you know, you got a quarterback who's just a winner, a gamer. He pulls it out. Eventually, you know, when does that run out? You want them to fix things. They're better than what we're seeing right now. The only reason why I know they're better than what we're seeing right now, because I've seen them be better than what we're seeing right now. I don't know. Again, I'm going to reiterate this. I am not a fan of Greg Roman. I think he's a phenomenal run game coordinator. That should be his job, bringing an offensive coordinator. Because, you know, you look at some of the things and you see some of the offense. To me, I think offensive coordinators have one or two things. They have a game plan, which is good, or an agenda, which is bad.
Well, we got an offensive coordinator with neither, because we got an old Maryland guy who blows.
Can we interest you in a gently used Matt Canada?
This guy stinks. You want him? We'll trade you. You want Matt Canada? We'll take Greg Roman.
No, I'm good.
Hey, Rob. Big picture here. I always want to know this because we talk about it here, and it's more to just try to get like some sort of one over right now on Lamar Jackson. He only has one playoff win. How much of a thing is that in Baltimore, where those fans never really doubt him? They always believe in him, and he gives them reason to. But when the calendar flips to January and you're playing postseason games, he's only got that one W. Is that a thing, Ravens fans? Like, you feel that tension or no?
The dumb ones, yeah. The guy's young in his career. He's early in his career still. To say he only has one playoff win, you know how many quarterbacks have been playing as long as him that were like one playoff appearance? I don't know what it is. See, that's just dumb talk to me.
Steelers.
It is. I mean,
you're okay, Rob. Go ahead.
I mean, to me, it's dumb talk. Yeah, he has one playoff win, which is a lot more than a lot of other quarterbacks, and about the same as some quarterbacks who have been playing a long time. But would you rather be Matthew Stafford? I mean, no. I mean, I'd rather have Lamar Jackson because I know I got a better chance of winning a playoff game. Keep in mind, when this young man took over, Joe Flacco led the team to a 4-5 record, and they just lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He took over, and all of a sudden, they go 6-1 down the stretch. They're in the playoffs. Yeah, they lose. But he learned from that. They came back the next year. They lost again. He learned from that again. And then he went to Tennessee, exercised that demon, and won. And then he went to bed against the Buffalo Bills the next week. he learns every step of the way. And I just think you're looking at one of the more sensational quarterbacks. You take him out of the equation, and all Baltimore Ravens, Ravens fans know this, take him out of the equation, and what do you have? You have a team that was 4-5 when he took over. That offensive line was horrible. At least we thought it was, and we realized it wasn't horrible. You were asking them to do something that they couldn't do at the time. So I think he's a game changer. And you do have some people here who keep bringing up that one playoff win. Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl, but so did Brad Johnson. You know, so did Mark Ripien. You know what I mean? So did Trent Dilfer. And Dan Marino didn't. So I guess all of those quarterbacks are better than him.
Rob, are the Ravens going to come up here and screw it up on Sunday? This rivalry can do wacky things. Sometimes you expect the unexpected. As Rob Long, Ravens expert, looks at this game on Sunday, is he nervous that all the signs are pointing to a Ravens win, but something weird and funky is going to happen in this game on Sunday? Give us something on that, Rob.
First of all, my grandmother told me years ago, if you're scared, go to church. But I will remind you of this. Dennis Dixon came to Baltimore and forced the Ravens into overtime. Ryan Mallett beat the Steelers.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you for the reminder on that.
I was there.
That's a pleasant one to think about for us, Rob.
I was there. I stepped on a dead rat walking into the stadium, not to bring up bad memories, but keep going.
Crazy things have happened in this series. I don't think they'll happen this week, but I do think the Ravens' offense is they're inconsistent enough to keep this thing close. I'm looking at Ravens 20, Steelers 20. Ravens 23, Steelers 20.
Rob Long, Ravens insider, French fry lover. You put ketchup on there, Rob, or no?
No, ketchup is the fruit of the devil. I don't eat that.
There we go.
All right,
thank you.
Rob. See ya.
Thank
Rob
you,
Long.
Rob. No, thank you.
Bye, Rob. Thank you.
The man, has good taste right there.
You're in a ketchup town. What are you doing right now?
I'm a mustard man in a ketchup town.
This is a ketchup town.
Pittsburgh is a cat town, and you should know
Steel
that.
Steel City, ketchup town.
Cat town, USA, not cats up.
Why isn't that taken off?
Cats up?
No, yeah. Instead of welcome to the Steel City, how about welcome to ketchup town, USA?
You should try to make it happen. You should try to make it happen. Blessed to be doing sports talk in ketchup town, USA.
Nance, welcome to the ketchup capital of the world. We're at Heinz Field. Jim Nance, Tony Romo, yeah. Tracy Wolfson.
No, it would be way better if Nance.
Jim, yeah. You're right.
Welcome to the Steel City. It's Steelers, Ravens. You know what, Jim? I call it Ketchup Town USA because the Steelers defense always puts the squeeze on their opponents.
Well, unless Cam Hayward's out, TJ Watt out, and Joe Hayden. In which case.
Got any tomato puns for that one, my friend?
In which case, can we get the game delayed like it was last year?
Can you flex the game to a channel that doesn't exist?
Can we push the game back like the Ravens got it moved back last year?
You know how surreal it was? I was thinking about sitting in my home office doing a radio show on a Wednesday afternoon
while a Steelers
game was happening.
Yep.
One of the oddest days of my professional career, right behind every one of them with Joe.
Follow us at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexler, North Huntington, Uniontown. All right, so now you know why we were freaking out before the show. And if you don't know, you're going to get it in this headline, Donnie. All right. Can we just have a few minutes of frivolity before we get into the depressing Steelers situation made worse by the injury report that just came out?
I do declare that would be a wonderful idea, Andrew.
Frivolity? Wow,
yes.
What a word.
Some mirth, perhaps.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry. What? What's abnormal here? I don't know what you mean, sir.
Everyone is
Brian Kelly.
Everyone has already spoofed Brian Kelly and made fun of Brian Kelly, and I am not one to turn down or look a gift fake Southern accent horse in the mouth and pass on an opportunity to mock him.
Mm-hmm.
Although it is funny that I'm making fun of someone that just got $100 million, so who's really the one laughing?
What else do we have to do when a guy who we all think is pretty much a bad guy gets paid like that?
I don't know.
You've
if
got
I was,
dunk on him.
I didn't see anyone else, you know, tweet this or say this. Maybe they have and I missed it. I couldn't help watching that Kelly speech at LSU, thinking to myself, at any point in my life covering sports in Pittsburgh, am I going to get a time when somebody takes a job here and does like a fake Yinzer accent and starts dropping like Yins and stuff, even though they had never stepped foot in
Pittsburgh.
Give me
somebody like an example.
Like
that's...
if Todd Graham had said to himself, instead of like evoking names like Tony Dorsett and Larry Fitzgerald, I'm going to come in here.
You know, Penny and I just went down to Giant Eagle and Penny got a quarter pound of chip chop ham. Penny's already been to Isley's. I told her, hey, can you stop at the store and get a pound of jumbo?
Like if he was at the Pete at halftime of a Pitt game and said, like, how are Yins doing? And, like, shouted that out.
I love being here in downtown Oakland.
You know, like...
Could you guys imagine Wani going down to LSU and putting on a Southern accent?
Yeah, that's another one. That's like, another one that I
thought of. Is that a mishmash of, like, Wani and Randy Moss, basically?
Oh, man, I would lose it if I saw something like that.
But I got to tell you guys something about that.
Okay.
It absolutely... When you are around people that are talking a certain way, you find yourself wanting 100%. To do that, man.
I lived with a bunch of guys from North Jersey and Long Island who were very annoying, by and large, my sophomore year in college, like a big apartment. They were all, so that accent, right, that part of the world. I found myself saying things the way they did after a couple months, like their little mannerisms. I found, and then I would, you like hit yourself. You're like, stop talking like that, you idiot.
You know who has like the worst whenever you want to be like a chameleon and want to talk like somebody is hockey players.
Oh yeah, you get the Canadian organization thing going.
Like Canada, eh?
Oh, Josh Yoey has become like he might have dual citizenship. He sounds more Canadian than American when he talks, and I like Josh. But if he were to come on and do a guest hit, Doran, right now, you know you would hear every Canadian trope in the book. Right down to the overwhelming politeness from Josh. He's a fine gentleman.
Well, you know who I thought used a lot of Canadian words and phrasing and even his cadence was Kessel. He's an American hockey player, but he would say A. He would drop in some of the like Canadian folks.
He's from Wisconsin, so it's close enough. I mean,
what are you talking about? If you grew up in Madison, you're probably just as close to the Canadian border as we are right now.
Yeah, I don't know. You got people in Fond du Lac.
Minnesota, they sound like they're Canadian too. Minnesota.
Right. I mean, you got your Bemidji's and your Duluth's. They're right near the border. Your Thunder Bay's are right, a stone's throw away. I'm laughing. I really am at the idea of Dave Yinzer Wonstedt trying to impress people in the Deep South that he's one of them and he's going to be knocking on doors in Mobile,
instead
Alabama.
Of saying Yins, he has to like look y'all. In a mirror and force himself to say y'all over and over and over again to
Doran, do you think you could give us what Wani would sound like just practicing the word y'all in the mirror? Get yourself into that mindset.
Well, shoot, y'all. Well, y'all are fixing. Oh, shoot. Y'all.
I can imagine him saying y'all like the word Yule. Like in what? Wani? Do we have our little Wani fun clip here?
We will have
our seasonal Wani.
Well, we are waiting for the next Wani Christmas album to come out, which I'm hearing is right around the corner.
Is this thing going to be like Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You?
A little bit
charts
later.
Every year?
A little bit later than last year's Silent Night. Rendition, but I'm sure there are a lot of Pittsburghers that would want to hearken in the holidays with Wani's Christmas carols again this year.
What Wani Christmas song would you guys most want to hear now that we've heard him do his rendition of Silent Night?
I think Deck the Halls would be up there for me.
Doran?
I think Jingle Bells. Just so it's so easy, but it's such a, to me, it's like a kid's song. He'd be like, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. Jingle all the way.
I would have.
Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Can you give, like, see, I thought of a.
Holy infant so tender and mild.
It never gets old. I've thought for months that it would get old, but it honestly doesn't.
No.
It's the mild that gets me.
M-A-U-H-L-D, mild.
And wow.
I kind of want to hear him singing Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, that novelty song. You imagine him busting that one out, Doran?
Ooh, man.
All right.
Man, my man.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy Route 19. in the South Hills, high of 44 degrees. Rob Long joined us on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. What's on Tap, brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, Pittsburgh Schmear Craft Beer Destination. And that is the Steelers injury report, and it is a bloodbath.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.